Gather segment data. Perhaps the most important part of segmenting your market is in getting the raw data on your customers themselves. For many, the time and effort to respond to a flyer or questionnaire is simply not worth it. The level of detail that's necessary to properly classify a customer and learn what is needed for proper market segmentation identification is by no means a short and easy task. Ideally, you would be able to have conversations and get to know your customers in one-on-one talks and discussions either via chat or phone or even face-to-face talks. But in the real world, this is often not possible. In lieu of that, the survey or questionnaire is the only way to gather the information you need. If you are going to use this method, there are some tips that will help generate more truthful and usable results, including being upfront about what you are seeking and why. Offer incentives for them filling out the information honestly. Explain honestly how long it will take to fill out the information and which sections are the most vital. Have a comment section for feedback both on your company and its products and on the questionnaire form itself so you can get feedback in a non-yes or no format to improve future surveys. Other sources of information that are often ignored or undervalued by small business owners that you should track in your database include comments made both online and in storefronts regarding sales and ongoing issues, feedback on wishes and desires regarding items sold, questions on whether you stock certain items or price points and discounts, and suitability of products for certain use. Target the rich. It goes without saying that your best target audience will be the segment with the greatest income that is willing to spend it. But that doesn't always mean those with the largest incomes are the ones to target. The second half of that equation is just as important. If you find from your reports that the second most affluent of your customer base are the ones who return more often, you should try and identify why this is. Do they lose or destroy the product? Are they giving them away? And if so, what about this segment is unique to drive that behavior? Either way, finding out which target audience has both the ability and willingness to purchase the greatest amount of product is vital to knowing where to spend your efforts in marketing. A few questions worth keeping track of about your most profitable customers include: how often do they refer you to similar customers? What amount do they spend on average per visit? What types of goods and services do they purchase from other related sites? Finding out valuable data like this can help you not only target your audience, but tailor your offerings and services to better meet your customers' needs, thus making you more competitive and providing you an edge over the competition. In any case, the better you are at keeping track of what your customers are buying, whether they are coming back and whether or not they are helping, or at least willing to help, spread the word about your business, the better off you will be in knowing how to target a viral marketing campaign and your hard-to-come-by marketing budget. Chapter 10. Alternatives to consider or include. Viral marketing or word of mouth can be applied in conjunction to or with most advertising streams, but it is most commonly associated with web-based HTML and email systems. So we would be remiss not to comment on other alternatives where you can focus your efforts to drive your message home to consumers. Of the myriad examples of advertising that we can go into, we will focus primarily on the ones with which a word-of-mouth or viral marketing campaign can be at least loosely associated and perhaps touch on other alternatives when necessary. We can also provide a few links to associated resources and companies that may prove useful should you wish to investigate these alternatives in further depth. Affiliate programs. Today, one hears a lot about the various affiliate programs and how successful they can be. This is an exciting avenue to investigate, especially with viral marketing in mind. An affiliate program is one where you allow other companies to link to or advertise on your site and in return earn a fee for all the traffic that is recognized as coming from your links. The biggest and most popular of these, at the moment, is Google's AdSense. The question is whether or not it is worth participating in these programs when you have little to no way to track the results and have to rely on the link code provider to pay up and issue you a check, or if you are an advertiser paid them to help generate and drive traffic to your site via the same AdSense functionality. For affiliate users, the same people whom you would be targeting for your viral campaigns, The general historical consensus was that it was not worth participating in affiliate programs since many times they would never see a check and had no way of proving or identifying whether or not they had been driving any traffic to the affiliate sites. Google changed all that, however, with tools and tracking programs that not only allowed participants to view their standings, but encouraged them to modify and correct keywords and descriptions to increase traffic and hits. The only real question now is whether you want to participate in an earn money method and have other ads appearing on your sites, or whether you want to use this exciting new concept to drive traffic to your site. AdWords. Google's AdWords program works like this from the vendor side. You bid an amount that you are willing to pay. Then you create a list of keywords and a related advertisement that displays as one of the quick links on the right-hand side of the user's after he runs a Google search. Ads also appear on affiliate sites that are of similar vein to your products. Depending on your bid price and maximum daily expenditure settings, your ad will show and you are charged by the number of users who click through to your site. As with any advertising method, you should be aware of your rate of return on your investment, commonly referred to as ROI, add your total budget and set your spending accordingly. The type of advertising that is done in these affiliate programs is called conceptual advertising and is not restricted to Google by any means. We will discuss several other vendors in this field later, but first let's talk about some key attributes to consider about how and if you want to take advantage of these programs. Cost per customer. One of the first things you need to think about is what you are going to be paying per customer to get them to your site. You have to remember that just getting them to your site doesn't mean that they will buy from you. The other important thing to remember is that depending on your type of business and sales, you may not be a good candidate for this kind of advertisement. If you're selling a product that only sells once in a lifetime to a customer, then budgeting too high to advertise to that customer and all the potential prospects could dig deep into your profits with no real gain. Blogs. A common feature today that many businesses are starting to take advantage of for the free advertising and goodwill it can engender are blogs. A blog is simply a binary log or diary that is available for anyone to read. You can put just personal information, solutions to common problems, your outlook on life, or just about anything you like on a blog. Many blogs focus on a specific thing, while others ramble about anything and everything. The choice is yours, but how can this help your business and how can it be utilized to further viral marketing goals? A case in point are the blogs encouraged by and paid for by Microsoft, where their developers and program managers post useful insights into the products that end users would rarely have feedback on. By simply going to microsoft.com/communities/blogs/portalhome.mspx and reading a blog, and sometimes even being able to communicate directly with those engineers who are writing it, the customers now get to feel as if they are directly involved in creating and updating the next version of Microsoft products. The end result? Happier, more informed customers and an internet searchable site with valuable information that customers might not be able to find elsewhere. This generates the type of excitement and feeling of ownership so vital to successful viral marketing campaigns, and all at the low cost of online storage and an occasional article update. To give you another example, let's say that you are in the business of selling recreational camping products and begin to maintain a blog about daily trends in the industry. Your findings of what works well and what doesn't in common trailers and RVs, and which products seem to be the most popular. After a time, you find yourself making new contacts and sales to people that you had not been reaching in the past, but who have begun to read your blog and are supporting your company due to a sense of loyalty and as a thank you for your valuable insights. Considering that, for the most part, blogs are free, that's a great return for just a few minutes of your time every other day. And it also provides an excellent resource for having discussions with customers and potential customers to gather segment research that you otherwise might never be able to obtain, even if you hired an expensive marketing research firm to attempt to gather it for you. RSS feeds. An RSS feed is a way to share information across many websites. It is short for RDF, Rich Document Format, Site Summary. And it is also called just Rich Site Summary at times. Popularized with the advent of Microsoft Office programs supporting it via XML, this is a useful way to get RSS-distributed content onto a site in an automatic way, but still control the layout and look. Pushing out RSS feeds to affiliate sites is one option to advertise and a good one for many online businesses. Just as with Google's AdWords and other such services, your business may or may not be right for this media. Typical uses for the feature, according to one of the leaders in the field, ClickBank, is to use an RSS syndication script, like RSS Equalizer, to add RSS feeds to your web page or incorporate ClickBank's RSS feeds into your blog. Other electronic options. Other than Google's AdWords and ClickBank, there are several other contextual advertising and automatic feed-capable services to consider. These include YPN, the Yahoo Publisher Network, the main competitor to Google at this stage, although they do not support an AdLinks-type feature at this time, Quigo AdSonar, a new competitor likely to infringe on Google's AdSense program. AdSonar is focusing on the relevancy of its advertisements, primarily on the health and beauty and fitness arena. Industry Brains, offering contextual advertising to business involved in government, technology, and the financial districts only. Commission Junction Evolution, not functional yet, but a beta is available to top-tier publishers at this time. They will add a new twist by connecting to an affiliate program. And MSN. No one can beat Microsoft when it comes to sheer volume, and they are offering some great tools and competitive features in their bid to enter this market as well. Email marketing. Obviously, if you do not currently have a targeted opt-in email list, you may want to consider viral marketing to build your targeted opt-in email list. Just consider the contact information of the targeted audience members as the revenue you are receiving by virtue of using viral marketing versus conventional marketing alone. Therefore, it should be just as obvious that if you do have an existing opt-in list of customers and prospects, they are the ideal group to approach initially when you start your viral marketing campaign. Writing articles. Advertising in magazines and newspapers will never go away, and using free press when you have events or sponsor a charity are still great ways to get your company and its products out there for very little investment. SEO. A SEO is a search engine optimization company that will help you place your website in the search engines or assist you with writing copy or giving advice on architecture and web design for a fee. Recently, a few SEOs have been overly aggressive and have used unfair methods to try and influence and manipulate search engine results, giving the entire industry a bad reputation. SEOs can be great for your company, but don't respond to one that solicits you or promises you a high ranking. As the old saying goes, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If you do have problems with an unethical SEO, you should address those concerns to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, at ftc.gov, via the File a Complaint online link, or you can call them at 1-877-FTC-HELP. If all else fails, write to them. Non-electronic methods. Direct mailings, magazine and advertisements, and television and radio are staples of marketing for good reason. They work, but they often are very expensive as well. Some alternatives to consider that may work as well but might offer a better return for the investment include newspaper ads, the Yellow Pages and other telephone directories, merchandising such as leaflets, packaging, shelf displays and window displays, trade journals, and websites. Other alternatives include writing articles and news stories on topics related to your business or interest, joining local community business groups and bureaus, and even billboards or car wrap advertising. Giveaway marketing in the form of pens and caps, t-shirts, etc. has long been a big promotional gimmick too, again for the simple reason that it is somewhat effective and for the most part low cost. Postal cards, pictures with your logo or website on them can also help generate traffic and be instrumental to viral marketing campaigns. But the really valuable cases occur when you can identify and provide some really cool must-have item that drives the public into frenzy and clearly associate it with you and your business. Consider the Beanie Baby craze of the 80s. If you were one of the first to get into providing these seemingly useless bean-stuffed toys as a sales gimmick, your business was booming. And this wasn't due to the product you were selling directly, but for people to get their hands on the rare and much coveted babies you were providing as a reward for the sale. The fact that the actual value of the babies was all in its perception was quickly driven home by the failed collection when the bubble finally burst. But since you had not been selling Beanie Babies but giving them away, nothing but good came to you from the campaign. This type of affiliated marketing scheme can be a great tool if you can hit the right combination of item and timing to really cash in on the public perception. And sometimes, as with the Mood Ring and the Pet Rock, what starts out as a novelty giveaway may become, in itself, a saleable product that can earn you millions. Some links and resources. AgencyFinder.com, advertising, public relations, or marketing firms. AWI, advertising agencies. ForAdvertising.com. The List, a directory of ad agency email addresses. Marketing Communication Agency Network, MCAN, a network of independent ad agencies. Mutual Advertising Agency Network, a network of over 40 agencies. And Yahoo Advertising. Chapter 11, Marketing and the Law. Keep up to date on what you can legally do on your website and how to limit your exposure to potential problems caused by viral marketing campaigns or other actions. You can keep abreast of the laws and regulations regarding advertising and truth in advertising as defined by the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, and related information on the FTC website at www.ftc.gov, which is updated almost daily. Prior to starting any campaign, look to see what the FTC has to say about products or advertising claims that are similar to those you are planning to promote. From the FTC homepage, you can search the entire website using keywords or phrases to find the pertinent sections. Many of the more commonly asked about elements as of August 2007 are listed in this section for you to reference as well. In addition, it is a good practice to review consumer.gov and check with the Better Business Bureau sites for tips on truthful advertising, the Voluntary Code of Advertising, and the details of ongoing scams that are currently targeting small business owners. The Canned Spam Act. One of the most significant and pertinent acts to affect viral marketing and online marketing in recent years is the Canned Spam Act for Commercial Emailers, enacted in 2003. It stands for the Controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing Act. It became effective on January 1, 2004. It covers any email whose primary purpose is advertising or to promote a commercial product or service, including websites. In effect, it states that a transactional or relationship message, i.e. email, that facilitates an agreed-upon transaction or updates a customer in an existing relationship cannot have false or misleading routing information, but is otherwise exempt from most of the other Canned Spam Act rules. This means you have to be able to find out who sent the message via the headers or content in order to opt out if you don't wish this type of message, even if you are not spam or pornography-based. What the law requires. The main provisions for the Canned Spam Act are as follows. It bans false or misleading header information, your emails from, to, and routing information, including the originating domain name or email address, must be accurate and identify the person who initiated the email. It prohibits deceptive subject lines. The subject line cannot mislead the recipient about the contents or subject matter of the message. It requires that your email give recipients an opt-out method. You must provide a return email address or another internet-based response mechanism that allows a recipient to ask you not to send future email messages to that email address, and you must honor the request. You may create a menu of choices to allow a recipient to opt out of certain types of messages, but you must include the option to end any commercial messages from the sender. Any opt-out mechanism you offer must be able to process opt-out requests for at least 30 days after you send your commercial email. When you receive an opt-out request, the law gives you 10 business days to stop sending email to the requester's email address. You cannot help another entity send email to that address or have another entity send email on your behalf to that address. Finally, it's illegal for you to sell or transfer the email addresses of people who chose not to receive your email, even in the form of a mailing list, unless you transfer the addresses so another entity can comply with the law. It requires that commercial email be identified as an advertisement and include the sender's valid physical postal address. Your message must contain clear and conspicuous notice that the message is an advertisement or solicitation and that the recipient can opt out of receiving more commercial email from you. It also must include your valid physical postal address. Penalties. Each violation of these provisions is subject to fines of up to $11,000. Deceptive commercial email also is subject to laws banning false or misleading advertising. Additional fines are provided for commercial emailers who not only violate the rules described above, but also harvest email addresses from websites or web services that have published a notice prohibiting the transfer of email addresses for the purpose of sending email. Generate email addresses using a dictionary attack, combining names, letters, or numbers into multiple permutations. Use scripts or other automated ways to register for multiple email or user accounts to send commercial email. Relay emails through a computer or network without permission, for example, by taking advantage of open relays or open proxies without authorization. The law allows the DOJ to seek criminal penalties, including imprisonment, for commercial emailers who do or conspire to use another computer without authorization and send commercial email from or through it, use a computer to relay or retransmit multiple commercial email messages to deceive or mislead recipients or an Internet access service about the origin of the message, falsify header information in multiple email messages and initiate the transmission of such messages, register for multiple email accounts or domain names using information that falsifies the identity of the actual registrant, and falsely represent themselves as owners of multiple Internet protocol addresses that are used to send commercial email messages. Some related rules. The FTC will issue additional rules under the CAN-SPAM Act involving the required labeling of sexually explicit commercial email and the criteria for determining the primary purpose of a commercial email. See the FTC website at www.ftc.gov/spam for updates on implementation of the CAN-SPAM Act. Additional considerations. Being ignorant of the law is not an excuse, so prior to making claims or offering a guarantee, spend a few minutes researching how to word your statements and what is and is not considered appropriate. Even with the best of intentions, a simple error can open you up to potential litigation should something go wrong. So this is truly a case where an ounce of prevention can be worth a pound of cure. A few of the more commonly asked questions that are addressed on the FTC site that we see asked by the common business users regarding advertising include: a competitor has a deceptive ad. What can I do? Well, explore your legal options under federal and state statutes that protect businesses from unfair competition. For example, the Lanham Act gives companies the right to sue their competitors for making deceptive claims and ads. File a complaint with the National Advertising Division of the Council of Better Business Bureaus. If your competitor's ad is running nationally or regionally, the NAD is a private self-regulatory group affiliated with the BBB. It investigates allegations of deceptive advertising and gives advertisers a mechanism for resolving disputes voluntarily. Call your local BBB or file an online complaint with a Better Business Bureau if the ad is local. Many BBBs have procedures for resolving disputes between businesses. You can contact the radio station, television station, or publication where the ad ran and let them know that they're running an ad you think may be deceptive. Contact your state attorney general's office or your city's, county, or state office of consumer affairs to get their phone numbers. Check your telephone directory. Contact the FTC by mail, Federal Trade Commission, Consumer Response Center, 600 Pennsylvania Avenue, NW, Washington, D.C., 20580. By telephone, toll-free, 1-877-FTC-HELP. How does the FTC resolve disputes between competitors? Well, the FTC is authorized to act when it appears that a company's advertising is deceptive and when the FTC action is in the public interest. Although the FTC cannot intervene in an individual dispute between two companies, the agency relies on many sources, including complaints from consumers and competitors, to find out about ads that may be deceptive. To file a complaint against a competitor who you believe has engaged in false advertising, contact the Federal Trade Commission Consumer Response Center, 600 Pennsylvania Avenue, NW, Washington, D.C., 20580. Toll free at 1-877-FTC-HELP. Can companies compare a competitor's product against theirs in an advertisement? So long as the advertisement is truthful and not misleading, yes, although copyright law may prohibit showing images of the product or its logos depending upon this scenario. See the Comparative Advertising Policy Statement for more. What are the rules for contests and sweepstakes? If a sweepstakes-type promotion requires a purchase to participate, it is illegal in the United States. This is enforceable by the USPS and the FCC, as well as other governing bodies of the U.S. Federal Law Divisions. Since every state has varying laws, you should check with the Attorney General's office in your state for specifics about the state in which you plan to advertise. In addition, if phone calls are to be involved, the FTC's telemarketing sales rule applies, and details on how to participate without purchase or payment is required to be made available upon request. What are the rules regarding using endorsements in advertisements? The FTC has a document called the Guides Concerning the Use of Testimonials and Endorsements, which details advice on how this type of information may be used. To summarize, said endorsement must reflect the honest experience or opinion of the endorser, cannot contain deceptive or unsubstantiated information if the advertiser made them directly, typify the experience of the consumers who use the product, not just those who are satisfied with it, and must disclose likely results, be given by someone who has sufficient qualifications to be considered an expert in the field, and must state if any material connection exists between the endorsee and the product and whether he is being paid to endorse it. When can I advertise something as free? This is detailed in the FTC's Guides Concerning Use of the Word Free and Other Representations in the Guides Against Deceptive Pricing, and in effect state that if something is tied to the sale of another product, then the ad needs to disclose those terms and conditions up front, near the advertised price. For more information on this, see the FTC article Big Print, Little Print, What's the Deal? What about guarantees and warranties? Ads that mention a warranty or guarantee should clearly disclose how to get the details, and any limitations must also be clearly disclosed. Also, the law requires that copies of said warranties or guarantees be made available upon request whether or not the consumer purchases the product, enabled to allow them to consider them prior to the sale. Is the Internet exempt from some advertising laws? No. All of the laws on advertising in the U.S. apply to any site on the Internet if the product is to be made available to the U.S. market. To learn more, review the FTC documents, Advertising and Marketing on the Internet, The Rules of the Road, .com Disclosures, Selling on the Internet, Prompt Delivery Rules, A Business Guide to the Federal Trade Commission's Mail or Telephone Order Merchandise Rule. Additional information and contacting the FTC. The following articles are all useful when beginning an online advertising campaign and may be necessary to answer questions you may have regarding specifics such as consumer privacy, when it is and is not legal to sell certain goods, and etc. These articles and many more are available online at the FTC site. How to comply with the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule, Mail or Telephone Order Merchandise Rule, A Business Guide to the Federal Trade Commission's Mail or Telephone Order Merchandise Rule, and Direct Marketing Association, Voluntary Ethical Business Practice Guidelines. The FTC works for the consumer to prevent fraudulent, deceptive, and unfair practices in the marketplace and to provide information to businesses to help them comply with the law. To file a complaint or to get free information on consumer issues, visit www.ftc.gov. or call toll-free 1-877-FTC-HELP. That's 1-877-382-4357. The FTC enters Internet, telemarketing, identity theft, and other fraud-related complaints into Consumer Sentinel, a secure online database available to hundreds of civil and criminal law enforcement agencies in the U.S. and abroad.